is an encounter with God's word that guarantees a life of dominion. Join Pastor Stephen Enoko, lead pastor, Love Embassy Church, as he brings the message of the kingdom with all simplicity, authority, and power. God bless you as you listen.
Let there be light. Open the eyes of the blind. Purify our hearts in your fire. Breathe in the sweet breath.
I want your hearts to be set, because every time there is the ministry of the word, it is important that you are open to receive it for yourself. And what we're going to be sharing this morning, please, I want you to be very, very intentional about it. I want you to receive it from yourself. Receive it for yourself. Receive it for your destiny. Glory to God. Can you raise your hands once again? I say, I receive the ministry of the word. The word of God profits me. The word of God illuminates me. I am blessed by the ministry of the word. In Jesus' name. Now, we're going to be doing a bit of reading this morning. You're going to help me. We're going to be doing a bit of reading. We're going to be reading a few stories in the Old Testament. And please, I want you to read it with understanding. So, we're going to be reading from the NLT Bible. Daniel chapter 3. We're going to be reading from verse 1 till the end. There is so much in those verses of scripture. So please just bear with me as we read these verses together. If you have a Bible of your own that you understand, I want you to open it. Are we ready? May God bless the reading of his word in our hearts in Jesus' name. Let's begin to read. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then he sent messages to the high officials, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the provincial officials to come to the dedication of the statue he had set up. Please take note of the word set up. So all these officials came and stood before the statue King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald shouted out, "People of all races and nations and languages, listen to the king's command. When you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and other musical instruments, bow to the ground to worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. Anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." So at the sound of the musical instrument, all the people, whatever their race or nation or language, bow to the ground and worship the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set. But some of the astrologers went to the king and informed on the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "Long live the king. You issued a decree requiring all the people to bow down and worship the gold statue when they hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and other musical instruments. That decree also states that those who refuse to obey must be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you have put in charge of the province." Please take note of that. "Whom you have put in charge of the province of Babylon. They pay no attention to you, your majesty. They refuse to serve your gods and do not worship the gold statue you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. When they were brought in, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or to worship the gold statue I have set up? I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I have made when you hear the sound of the musical instrument. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then, what God will be able to rescue you from my power?" It was a challenge. Next verse. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up." Nebuchadnezzar was so furious, why wouldn't he be, with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that his face became distorted with rage. He commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times, hotter than usual. Glory to God. Somebody say hot fire. Then he ordered some of the strongest men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up and threw them into the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, turbans, robe, and other garments. And because the king in his anger has demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers as they threw the men in. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. But suddenly, Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, "Didn't we tie up 3 men and throw them into the furnace?" "Yes, your majesty, we certainly did," they replied. Verse 25. "Look," Nebuchadnezzar shouted, "I see 4 men unbound, walking around in the fire unharmed, and the 4th looks like a god." Please, pause here. Give it to us in King James. Just pause here. Give this part to us in King James. I like the way the King James rendered it. Everybody, let's read together. "He answered and said, 'Lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no heart, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God.'" Let's read on verse 26. "Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, 'Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God.'" He never called them that at the beginning. But because they had been tried, tested, and found to be sincere, he knew who they were. And then he said, "Servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, number one, nor was an hair of their head singed, number two, neither were their coats changed, number three, nor the smell of fire, as in they could not perceive the fire in them. Now read the next verse. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angels and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve. Please take note of this. They did not yield their body to serve, nor worship any god except their own God. Verse 29. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Verse 30. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Matthew 6, verse 24. Amplified, please. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will stand by and be devoted to the one and despise and be against the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, deceitful riches, money, possessions, or whatever is trusted in. Luke 12 verse 15. That's the last verse. Please take note of these verses. You can read them on your own during your own spare time. Luke 12 verse 15. Give it to us in the King James Bible. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Let's read the second part together, everybody. I want to hear you. Scream it. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Can we bow down as we pray? Father, we thank you for your word. The reading of your word is blessed, because your word in itself is blessed. Your word is anointed. Your word is true. Your word is powerful. The Bible says your word is a two-edged sword. It can pierce, it can divide, it can put asunder. It can even penetrate the intent of a man's heart. Like good soil, Lord, let your word fall in our heart, such that it will bear fruit, not just 30, not just 60, but 100-fold. I'm asking that you will anoint my lips of clay, so that these words will be so precise, these words will be audacious, these words will be filled with utterance, and like arrows, it will pierce into our heart. And after this, Lord, our lives will be transited in the path of your purpose. Thank you, Father, because we are blessed by your word. In Jesus' name, we pray. Now, in this series of learning to live by the word of God, allow me this morning to share with you on what I've called bow or suffer. Bow or suffer. You must understand that it is not just enough for you to learn the word of God for the word of God's sake, but you must understand that the reason why we will learn the word of God, the reason why we will understand the word of God, is because it is the desire of God that his word will be the standard of our livelihood. Please write that thing down. Livelihood. Our livelihood. Our livelihood. You must understand that the teaching of the word of God the learning of the word of God is for us to live it out. To live it out. Tell your neighbor to live it out. Then you must also understand that the word of God is spiritual. In the discussion on a heart that is teachable, I made you to realize that one of the reasons we should have a teachable heart is because the word of God is spiritually communicated but physically lived. God's word in your life must be seen. God's word in your life must be expressed. His commands, his principles, his instructions, his promises, they are lived out. Say it with me. Say, live it out. God desires that his word be lived out. No wonder the writer of James made a statement. He said, he that hears God's word and does not participate or does not apply it is a forgetful hearer. It's like a man that beholds his natural self in a mirror and immediately leaves the mirror. He forgets what it looks like. I wanted to tell your neighbor, God's word is for us to look like it. We are to look like what the word says. We are to look like what the command says. We are to look like what his kingdom principle says. We are to look like what his instruction says. We are to look like what his promises say. But you must understand that the dilemma is that we have received the spiritual world, but we now are to live it out in a physical world, which in itself is not really physical. Glory to God. So we are to live God's word in the world. Write it down. We are to live out. So it is important that as we set up to learn the word of God, or learn to live by the word of God, we must also carry out an investigation into the world itself. The word of God, or the kingdom of God, is a spiritual system. The kingdom of God is the influence of God on the earth. The kingdom of God is the operating system of God on those who have submitted themselves to the lordship of Christ. So, there are two worlds in this world. There are two worlds in this world. There is the world of the spirit, the world of light, and there is the world system, the physical world. So you must understand that world, W-O-R-L-D, is a system. A system is an interconnected members that works a thing out. Raise your head. What is a system? A system is a component, an interconnected system. A system is an interconnected network that works something out. It has principles. It has instructions. For example, the most common system everyone of us here know is your laptop. Your laptop is a system. Now, the moment you put it on, it boots, sends information from the operating system. We call it code booting, as it were. And then it sends a system. It begins to spine. And the hard disk spines. Then the light connects the hard disk to spine. The hard disk is connected to the motherboard. The motherboard has a RAM and a processor. So within a flip of second, the moment you press the button, boom, everything begins to work. Now, why? It has been programmed. Whatever works, works because it has been programmed. Glory to God. Whatever works, works because it has been programmed to work. The world we live in is a system. It has its ways. It has been framed to work. Please, believers, it will be wrong for you to live in this world and not have what I call the biblical world view. Write it down. Biblical world view. So you can say, the object of my discourse this morning is to give you a biblical way to view the world. In all of your learning to live by the word of God, it will be contradictory. It will be difficult if you only learn the word of God and then you don't understand the world you are in. You will not be able to apply it. Are you following me? You will not know how to take your faith to your job. You will not know how to take your faith to healthcare. You will not know how to blend your faith with childbirth, with raising kids. If you don't understand how this world has been designed to work, you will not be able to know how to take scriptures and apply it where it needs to be applied. Remember, in that book of Matthew 4, even the devil quoted the word to Jesus. He quoted Psalm 91. He said, he will give his angels charge over you. So in other words, when you don't understand or have the right world view, you will not be able to apply the instructions of God on this world. So one of the mistakes we make is that we become so spiritual, but we don't understand that every of our spiritual realities have been programmed by God to carry out one purpose. And it was Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even though they were in the Old Testament. But you must understand that God's word then and God's word now hasn't changed. And let me tell you what one of the purposes of God's word. One of the purposes of the workings of God's word in our life is that the ways of God will be enthroned. Everybody say that the ways of God will be enthroned. That the ways of God will be enthroned. The desire of God is that nations will be administrated by the provisions of scriptures. The desire of God is that cities, whole cities, will be lived by the instructions of God. The desire of God is that kingdoms, physical kingdoms now, earthly kingdom, nations, Nigeria, America, Arabia, and all the nations of the world. The desire of God is that his kingdom will be the influences on this kingdom. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, he said, you are the light of the world. The systems will be in darkness because you are not there. Tell your neighbor, the world is a system. There is a way the man in Christ should view the world. There is a way as believers we are to see the world. In scriptures, there are two terms that is used to depict the world. I'm talking about the world, the physical world. And for the purpose of our discourse, I would like you to take note of them. There are two. I'm going to be explaining them. Number one, Egypt. Egypt is a type, is symbolic of the world. Every time you read Egypt in scriptures, Egypt symbolizes the world. Note that down. Number two, talking about system now. Because when you're talking about Egypt, you're talking about a system. The system. And for those of you that have done a bit of philosophy and management, you were told that civilization was actually triggered by ancient Egypt. Now that's the reason why, for those of you that study economics, if you go study economics, most of the economy principle we are applying today, they were principles that were propounded by men like Aristotle, men like Maslow. They were men, but many of them had their training from ancient Egyptian philosophers. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So what you will call Egypt in Bible days is what you will call modern day America, modern day British. Because these are the ones that are ruling us, whether you believe it or not. The systems of this world. Number two that the Bible used to typify the world is Babylon. Babylon. And more recently in the New Testament, it's Babylon, especially if you read Revelation. So please, whenever you hear Babylon, you shouldn't be talking about a flag. It's a system. Tell your neighbor it's a system. Now, Babylon is a system. Babylon is a system. If you do your study very well, you will realize that Babylon is like the implementation of all the principles of Egypt. So you could see that Babylon is the running ways. Babylon stimulates the crave. Babylon stimulates the lust. Babylon defines the buying and selling. Babylon defines so many things. And can I be real to you about the systems? It is either you bow to them or you suffer. These systems are raised to rival the systems of God. It's always a war against the ways of God. Babylon is framed to be antagonist of the ways of God. The God system now, the God world, is typified by one word: New Jerusalem. The system that has its roots in Egypt, the system that has its roots in Babylon, and the system that has its root in the Jerusalem nature. You must understand that the wars will see to take territories, to exert control, to exert influence, to determine buying and selling. It never started today. I want you to follow me keenly. And I would like you, please, after listening to this teaching, get it and listen to it over and over again. You must understand that from the day God's spirit left earth, the only desire that was left in man has always been a desire to have and control. Write it down. Man's number one desire has always been to have and to control. Say it with me: to have and to control. Do you get what I'm talking about? Now, please, it is not a wrong desire. I'm going to show you why. In Genesis 2, the Bible says in verse 15, give it to us from the Amplified. You will see that among our dominion mandate is to take charge. The desire to take charge, the desire to be in control, the desire to have power has always been part of our dominion mandate. Because our calling in God in Genesis was that we were going to take charge. Everybody say taking charge. So every man on this earth is characterized by two things. Number one, a desire to be in control. A desire to take charge. Basic. Note this. See? Since after man was created, the Spirit of God was supposed to be the ruler of man. God was supposed to be man's main control system. But the Bible says in Genesis, when they ate the fruit, the Bible said the Spirit of God left them. And from that day, man's deepest desire has been to take charge and to be in control. Number one, to take charge of people and to be in control of his circumstances. Please write this down. Now, this is where every craving has its root. Every craving, any craving you can think of, they have their root in these two places. Number one, a desire to control people and a desire to control your circumstances. Why do you think people go into allegiance, into relationship with spirit beings? Everybody say power. In one word, man's deepest desire is to be powerful. If money wasn't this powerful, there is no need for you to chase it. The reason everybody wants to have money is so the person will be powerful. But can I be real to you? There are two things that go hand in hand. Every financial power is always backed up by political power. And that's the relationship between Egypt and Babylon. The desire of Egypt has never been to make our people happy. And that's why sometimes when I look at people and think that the government that they have, their desire is to make you have life, you don't understand scriptures. It was never the desire of God that man will rule his fellow man. The desire of God was that man will be ruled by him, and by the power of God, man will exert authority over resources. Everybody say authority over resources. Genesis chapter 1, if you read verse 28 and 29, check. God did not give man authority over his fellow man, because man's will is his existence. Whoever you give your will to controls your life. In that God never created man to be controlled by his fellow man. However, he puts the administration of earthly resources to men. And so that's the reason why he said, I like this part of the scriptures, amplified now. Genesis 1. He said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. That subdue the earth means using all its vast resources in the service of God and man. In biblical context, the richest man in God's sight is the man that is making others to live well. I'll come back to that. And that's why, if you don't understand the idea of God for power, if you don't understand the idea of God for influence, you will become the most powerful man on earth, like Adolf Hitler, and you will make your people slaves. The greatest undoing of mankind is slavery. And in case you don't know, slavery has its root from ancient Egypt. Follow me now. The kingdom of God is actually controlled by men that have the Spirit of God. And hear this. The level to which I know you have the Spirit of God is your level of humbleness. I'm not going to use any other thing to define it. The level at which you can allow yourself to suffer for another to prosper. Now that's the high. Please, it will take you years to come to this reality. You will realize that the more you pursue money, the more you want to control men. That is the auto system of Egypt and Babylon. You know, when America attacked Afghanistan, many of you thought it was because the government of the day wanted to give our people good life. No. What they told the world is that they had some nuclear weapons. You and I know there was no nuclear weapons. They were after their oil. You'll be so amazed today to know that the reason why your country cannot be free from the influence of the developed world is because we are the one making them rich. And that's why no matter how you try, they will never give you a president that have a servant heart. It is the order of Egypt. It is the order of Babylon. I stand to say this with all sincerity and humility. Anybody that promotes democracy does not understand God's system. Because you will know later that the greatest attack to the design of God for the freedom of mankind is democracy. Because what does democracy do? Democracy gives illiterates the power to vote people that will bring them in and control them. And that's the reason why any place where you will practice true democracy, you must make the people poor. Because money will become their motivation to vote you in. You don't understand? It's a system. Because long time ago, God has abandoned the system of Egypt. God never erected a prince over Egypt. God never erected a prince over Babylon. When Jesus came, he erected a different system. And that's why it pains me when I see how well believers are trying to labor to make the nations good. Can I be real to you? Our calling is not to make this world a better place. Our calling is to establish the order of New Jerusalem. No matter how long they will try, the nations of this world will never be saved. It is only the church that is safe. No nation can be saved. The only nation that God knew and knows, everybody says, is the church. And that's why no matter how passionate you are with your skills, no matter how passionate you are with your passion, I'll show you a scripture in Genesis 14 and your eyes will be open to understand the plan of Babylon. And in case you don't know, especially in a country like Nigeria, they have won very well. Because anybody that can collect your time to give you money already becomes your master. Many of us think that when we talk about Babylon and Egypt, we are talking about a Pharaoh and a Herod. No way. Devil does smart. He don't what's up. Can you turn your Bible? I'm going to show you a story in Genesis 14. And I told you I'm going to be doing a bit of reading because I like the word. I like sometimes I read scriptures and I like them communicating to me because they solidify some of the ideologies I have about the kingdom of God. The greatest attack against the church in this time will be the attack against the pure teachings of the gospel. But there are truths the devil has hijacked and has made evil men to so amplify money. And it was because of what happened here. Now, the Bible talked about, now this is the story of Abraham. By this time, God had just called him. And please allow me to shift this in to change some of your perception about Abraham. There are some of us that think that it was because God cut a covenant with Abraham. That was why Abraham became wealthy. I'm going to show to you that it's not true. Abraham was a rich man before God called him. Abraham never did anything because he wanted prosperity. Abraham was a very rich man. You will see it here. You will see it here. Abraham was not poor. Now let's read on. About this time, word broke out. Did you see that? Babylon. Now this is Genesis. So, King Amraphel of Babylon, King Arioch of Elisha, King Kedarlaomer of Elam, and King Tidal of Goim. Now what happened? Verse 2. They fought against King Bera of Sodom. Now you remember Sodom. You remember Sodom, isn't it? And King Bisha of Gomorrah. Now King Shinab of Adma, King Shemiba of Zeboin and of Bela. Now, I'm going to come back here, but let me show you where we missed it. I'll come back here, but I want to give you a background of when kingship started. Because around this time, there was no king in Jerusalem. Now, kingship was already on the earth, but kingship was not in the children of God. They never had a king. Why? God already said, I'm going to be your king and I'm going to be raising priests. But because, in the literal sense, these nations that had king tend to have more money. These nations that had king, they tend to have some things like, how will I be depending on God for manna when a king had already made it possible that any time you wake up, you just come and collect food? To them, those people who had earthly king had their needs met. They that had God as their king must have to depend on God. Now let me tell you what Egypt and Babylon tries to fight. Your dependence on God. See, that's where the fight is. Write it down. The fight of my life from this world is that I don't depend on God. That is the basic line of the fight. Don't depend on God. How will you depend on God? Vote me in and I'll give you house. Vote me in and I'll give you a food. Vote me in, I'll give you what you want. The kings at that time, they had a way they were controlling their people. I told you that it's after the form, man hunger and desire is to, number one, control his fellow man. And number two, control his circumstances. So God picked priests and judges. They were to help the children of God serve God's provision, what you call deacons. That as the resources comes, they will help distribute it. The biggest attack against God's will is self. The reason why you must grow spiritually is not so that you'll be more eloquent. It's not so that you have more scriptures in your head. No. The reason why you should go spiritually is to know when to tell your body, body, calm down now. It's not about you. Calm down. Calm down. Now, that's the purpose of spiritual growth. Because the desire of Babylon, the desire of Egypt, is to bring you to a point where instead of trusting God, it will give you a stature to trust. I was tempting Satan told Jesus. He said, see, all these things you are seeing, all this bling bling, I'm going to give them to you if you can put your head on the ground. Man's greatest weapon is to make his fellow man suffer. And that's why I'm going to say it again, with no apology, that if you are still among those that is praying to have a president that will bring price of fuel to 40 naira, you are as well living in delusion. Because it was Jesus that said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. the more hunger strikes this world, the more humans will use their fellow men to eat. Go and ask those women in the city of Samaria, in 2 Kings. One of them, what did she do? He said, I bought my son. See, one of the signs to show to you that this world is already heading towards desolation is that the wickedness of man will be so wicked. Like people sitting down to design a program. Like people sitting down to bring about a virus to kill a fellow human being just because they want an order. There is no problem on this world that is not man-made. Every problem on this world is created by man. Let me make it more practical now. Most of you know Oko antivirus. Go read the history or the origin of antivirus. The people that sells antivirus, they are the ones that wrote the virus so that they can have more money and have more power to control people and to control their circumstances. So in 1 Samuel, the Bible says in chapter 8, the Jewish nations never lived with a king. It was those other nations. That was why if you read that Genesis, we'll still go back there. When Abraham was returning, it was a priest that accosted Abraham. And he gave Abraham wine and bread. So priesthood has been the desire of God. Everybody say priesthood. Any believer that is ignorant of kingdom priesthood will never be able to establish God's throne on this earth. The reason why many of us still sees money as powerful is because they don't understand priesthood. I wish I can have some time. The priest in Bible days never had portion with land. Go and read the origin of tithe. The desire of God is that this earth will be an earth where priests are reigning. And let me tell you one of the priority of priests, the altar they are serving. The priority of any priest is the altar he's serving. And so Satan understands that you are a priest and that your highest point of receiving from God is when you are in your altar. So he gives you a job that takes you from that altar and tells you that I'm going to pay you. And then when it is time for you to bring God in, you will be thinking about what money God can give you. So now what we have is people serving God because there is a desire and hunger for money that they want to actually romance. And that's what's happening. Kings came because Samuel was a good man, but he could not transfer the legacy to his children. His children started taking advantages of the priesthood. So because they were to survive from what comes, their nation was to be administrated by men who have relationship with God. Go and read all the Old Testament. Every time God will raise a king, he raise a priest also. Because in the real sense, king was not his design. So one day, turn your Bible, 1 Samuel 8. As Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons to be judges over Israel. Joel and Abijah, the oldest sons, held court in Beersheba. But they were not like their father, for they were greedy for money. Did you see that? Every tyranny, every oppression is traceable to love for money. And that's why if you really want to live God's economy on this earth, please go and read your Bible to find out how God view money. It is different from many of the prosperity messages some of us have accepted. Because these men, they have an understanding. I mean, these men, I'm talking about the men that are teaching you. They have an understanding. But you are seeing the car that they have. You are seeing the houses they have. You are seeing the private jet that they have. But you have not seen the heart that they have. Now, that's the difference between you and them. I know of a man of God in Lagos. You all know him. Every time I wash him, this shirt he wears, I'm sure if you price the shirt, I'm not sure it's up to 2,000 naira. And we'll put one boat tie in front and just stand there and be talking. And he commands wealth. And everybody's saying, I want to be like him so that when I come, I will fly on private jet. And that's what Mammon is doing. Because Mammon always has a way of using the image to alter your motive. Satan will never throw a temptation until he shows Jesus something. He must show him something. So these men were greedy. They accepted bribe and perverted justice. Finally, all the elders of Israel met at Ramah to discuss the matter with Samuel. And look at what they said. Look, they told him, you are now old and your sons are not like you. Give us a king. Now, when you have problem, how do you seek for the solution? Because for every problem you have, Mammon has the solution. Because remember I told you, the desire of the devil is to see that you don't trust God. That is the fight. It's just that some of us don't see it. Oh, he doesn't want you to get pregnant. You understand? He doesn't want you to get a job. No way. Many a times, God will practically delay you from getting to a job so that you will know how to trust him. So by the time you get one, you will know that it's not your salary that is sustaining you. Because I was even more sustained when I never had a salary than now. If you are wise, you will know what I'm saying. I know what I'm talking about. There are debts I never accumulated until I started any salary. Because when you don't have a salary, you know all my life you have been faithful. But one day, a problem will show up. And there is only one thing Satan will tell you. See, your God will not show up this time. They came to Samuel, even told Samuel what they wanted. Now, guess what Samuel's reply was? I like the reply. Samuel was displeased with their request and went to God for guidance. Now, look up. Do everything they say to you, the Lord replied. For it is me they are rejecting, not you. They don't want me to be their king. The greatest battle on this earth is the battle for thrones. Many of you think that what king control is landmass. No, what king control is not landmass, because landmass are occupied by people. So what they take is the landmass and they control the people. Control, everybody say control. And that's why I fear people that are controlling and manipulating, because it is included in Mammon. Anybody that can control you can alter the course of your life. I can't tell you how many people got married simply because they were manipulated into the marriage because of what somebody will gain. You see, in this place, we don't marry outside. We must marry ourselves here and we die here. You must understand that there is a very tiny line between the will of God and the desire of your heart. And that line meets where you will be needed to bow. That's where the line meets. Where you will be needed to bow. As long as there are no opposing conflicts, you are safe. But you see, there will always be conflict. So God told them. He says, ever since I brought them from Egypt, they have continually abandoned me and followed other gods. And now, they are giving me. You see, if you think that God does not know what is tolerating in man's life, you are deceiving yourself. They've taken God for granted. And please, when you read verses like this, this is where your understanding of the Old Testament now comes in. My question is, how did they take God for granted on only one account when they have a need? Go and read your Bible. No, see, they don't have problem with God as long as water is coming. They don't have problem with God as long as food is coming. No, they don't have problem with God as long as they can wake up when they like and sleep when they like. Many of you think that Mammon is just one image. No, Mammon is what controls when you wake and when you sleep. Mammon is what controls what you bow for and what you stand for. And that's why many people have compromised their God-given virtue to get a job. Because the real fight is not the job. Because even without the job, if you trust him, he will sustain you. He will. And look how the Bible said. But solemnly warn them about the way a king will reign over them. See, men of God, women of God, to what extent do you know God? You've been coming to church for months, but do you know the way of God? Because there is a difference between knowing about God and knowing the way of God. God knows man. The husband you are going to marry, God knows men. And that's why I honor him as God. Because how could you see this shit and yet still love me? It's worthy of service to know that God knew this about men and yet is still head and toe and heel and everything, dying to see that his spirit comes back. Now, why is God bent on sending his spirit back? It is only the arrival of his spirit that will restore his government. No man can do God's will if he doesn't have God's spirit. And that's why when election was coming, they were saying he has corruption free. I looked at them, I laughed. Because you know this? There is no man that is not corrupt on this earth. Because corruption is absence of God's spirit. Go and read Genesis 6. And that's why when sisters come and say, sir, he's, even though he's not born again, but I know God will change his heart. It's alright. Even the ones when God don't change their heart, we are still trying to straight them.
I have no business with the one that the Spirit of God is not there. Because the Spirit of God is the rulership of God. That's why there is only one fight Satan is fighting on this earth. To see that men don't have the Spirit of God. And if they now manage to get it, they will not understand. Because how would you explain a believer married for 10 years, he doesn't have an issue, and he's not 10 years, it's too far. 3 years, he's already contemplating going to meet a babalawo. Now, let me tell you where the mammon spirit comes from. A desire to be recognized. Check all the things you need. Check. I like Anna because it was, is it Penenia now that pushed Anna to Shiloh? But when Anna got to Shiloh, he recalibrated his heart. Because if she had come to God and said, God, see, they are disgracing me. You know, people pray that kind of prayer. Lord, bless me and shame all the people that are mocking me. That's not a New Testament prayer. Because even if God will shame your mocker, he does not need you to pray. I'm checking that book of Daniel to see when Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they prayed. I'm checking that verse to see when they prayed. Lord, we are dying now for your sake. Oh, receive our soul. No way. Because if mammon has not entered your heart, it will not move your knee to bow. The things we are fighting are not the things you don't have. The things we are having challenge with are the things in your heart that you are expecting. You have already told your friends that at 26 you will be married. 3 years later you would have given birth. At 35 you would have been, that is what is controlling your life. So now this is 25 and a half. You have kept a relationship for 5 years, and God is telling you, sister, that's not the way. Listen to me. The quality of God's word in your life will determine if you will let that brother go or not. So I'll tell you some from persons lately. I said many a times when you abandon your normal way of life to follow the way of God, it is not what you abandon that is important in God's eyes. Everybody says the heart. That you can leave this juicy job like Moses and go and suffer with the children of Israel. I'm not going to be one of those that will tell you that obedience is juicy. No way. I'm not one of those that will tell you that if you submit your whole heart to God, you will have money more than Bill Gates. No way. I'm not going to tell you that. Because many a times, you will never even see that thing you abandon your course for. But you will die because you did the will of God. Many a times we think that it is because we prayed and God answered. No. It is because we trusted God and we decide that even if he doesn't answer, I'm okay like that. But that's where mammon will come. Because there is a system of what? Recognition. Write that down. Mammon is symbolic of recognition. So Samuel passed on the Lord's warning to the people. Verse 11. This is how a king will reign over you, Samuel said. Number one, the king will draft your sons and assign them to his chariots. You know, what I'm trying to say here is that the first thing the king will do is that he will use it to shine. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He'll come to someone like Michael. You know, you are able body. Stand up. Drop your Bible and come. Come, come. That's what he's going to do. I know I'm not tall, but I know that the family of Eligidi Elede has tall sons. That's the first thing he will do. The God of this world thrives in how many people they can control. Everybody say how many people they can control. No, be careful if you are a type that is easily moved by numbers. I'm not going where you are going. I know where you went to now, but that's not where I'm going. But just don't worry. Because many a times, recognition is by increase in numbers. Kings take territory, not because they want more people to give food. No, they take territories because they want more lands to call their own. Have you not watched many of all these sword movies? In other words, they will use them. See, one of my desires in life till Jesus will come, I refuse to be a man that uses people. Because it's one of the schemes of mammon. Just to use people. You don't care. You don't. The only reason why the king want to give them attire is because they are standing in front of the chariot. And that's why many a times as believers, check the things you need. I was sharing with someone, I said, sometimes in the polytechnic where I work, you see some of my colleagues, they will come. They have a very fine car that is working on. So you see, just be promoted to principal lecturer. This car is no longer befitting. There's a car that befits my status. In God's scheme, your own is to move from one place. But in mammon's scheme, is to befit status. Now that's mammon. Recognition. In your wardrobe, you already have clothes that can carry you for the whole 7 days. But you still need more clothes. Now, I tell you why you need more clothes. I'm not accusing you, but I just suggest, assume, you don't want to repeat another one. So your issue is not that you have to wear. Your issue is that Fisayo shouldn't see that this cloth was what I wore to church last week and wore it again. And many a times, Fisayo did not even know where you were. Tell me what I wore to church last week. It's now you start trying to think it. That's it. You'll be so amazed to know that many things you think people are looking, they are not even seeing it. Mammon is a craving in their heart. The image have left that place. Nebuchadnezzar puts it and it has come to your heart. So even though they did not see it, as long as they hear the sound, they bow. Now that's mammon. You don't need to see it. You don't need to see it. No, you don't need to tell me, pastor, that the reason why I want to have millions is so that I can stay in a house. That kind of house I saw in that movie. I don't need you to tell me. And don't come and wrap it by telling me that, you see, sir, we need more money so we'll sponsor the gospel. Ask yourself one question. I'm not accusing anybody, but with the money that God has pumped to the gospel in Nigeria, how many people know it? I'm humble here. Go on evangelism tomorrow. I'm not talking about Muslims. I mean Christians. Even you see their hair. What is the gospel? Lord, bless me so that I will advance your kingdom. What is the kingdom? Do you even know the kingdom? So somehow, like Matthew 7 verse 21, we just want to use God to become important. People like people that are spiritual. People like people that have anointing. They've not even given you the title. They only promise you they will give you on the 20, but you've already put PhD in bracket in front of your name. No, I understand. And I say, so, you know, when I have a PhD, I'll be able to minister with the government. With all the PhD holders, we are away in Nigeria. Let's be sincere. I'm not accusing anybody, but let's be realistic. This thing is a spirit. They get there and they forget their pastor. It was Reverend that was telling me that there are some men that were strong members of their cathedral that the monarch drafted into their cabinet, that those are the same men in the meeting that will be giving instruction on how they will close down the churches. Do you know why? It's either you suffer or you bow. You are expecting that they will stand for the kingdom there. They are planning to buy another house in Dubai for their younger son's wife. Have you worked before? I know, because I'm talking about government. Now you are thinking that it's because they are not born again. Have you worked before? For a boss that is the elder of your church, and then this is 15th of the month, he has not paid you your salary, and yet does not care how you feed. I'm not talking about the reality that there is a lockdown and then things are not working. But I'm talking about the fact that he does not even care. As far as you come to work, he's satisfied. Now that's the mammon spirit we are talking about. And somehow, it has its source in low places. And so let them just appoint me. I will change things. Keep quiet. When was the last time you came to your local church and they told you, come by 7, and you actually came by 7? Mammon is a spirit that says, I'm not under control. Mammon is, I can do what I want regardless of how you feel. Now that's the spirit of mammon. A king will stand and, Jesus, go watch some films. Was it Prince of Egypt or Exodus? They want to do dance party. Now people blood, they say they do dance party. Just bring, everybody go to dance. The man will just carry knife, fume. Any man that does not have the value for his own is possessed by the spirit of mammon. Because the spirit of mammon transfers your commitment from soul to things. Transfers your commitment from spiritual transformation to earthly cover. See, I don't have problem preaching prosperity. I know what prosperity in the kingdom is. But I'm talking about, what are you ready to compromise to be comfortable? Because in this kingdom, our goal is not to be comfortable. I make bed to stand telling you, saints of God, that our goal is to do the will of God. Even if it costs our life, so be it. Because in God's record, you have done his will. Where you won't climb, go for this earth. It was the same Jonathan. You all said it's not fit to be president. It's the same one that African nations are begging to come and solve their conflict. And then those ones that were so vocal that said anybody apart from Jonathan, now they are coming to swallow their own vomit. Because do you know why? They don't know the spirit of mammon. A man is only as innocent till you give him the control over your life. A man is only as humble. Sister, you know what I'm talking about. Whenever I marry you, you are the butterfly in his cupboard. You are the bee in his tea. You are the grasshopper in his belly. But when he marries you, he sees that grasshopper in another person. And then you are telling me that mammon is not a spirit. The Bible says God told them. Let's go back to 12. He says some will be generals and captains in his army. Some will be forced to plow in his fields and harvest. Take note of the word his. Nebuchadnezzar said, anyone that will bow to my God, the God of mammon, is money. He's not a man that has beers. Money. Money has been magnified in high places. So I just want to show you here where kings started. So go back to that Genesis and let's see what happened. And then we'll pray. There's something that Abraham said. I want to profile the life of Abraham. My chariot men, please escort me to your seat. Imagine if I'm going for a program now. He carries my phone. He carries my Bible. When they say, let's welcome Stephen. You know, if it was only me, it's my leg, they will look. That which kind preacher that has. But you see, when I enter with these two men, when they will start from the leg, but when they see the men, especially the tie, and they now say, let's welcome Stephen. The whole world. Go and see that. We'll continue from there later. The desire, the crave of mammon is recognition. It was Solomon that said in Ecclesiastes, he said there was a man that was so wise, he had no money. And to be sincere, one of the people that distorted the kingdom view of money was Solomon. When we reach heaven, I will ask him, what did he eat? I'm sure it was those sisters from Babylon that turned his head. But at the end of the day, now came to us in Ecclesiastes. He said, all of this is vanity and vexation of spirit. Thank God he knew it before he died. Because many a times, you will never know that what you are chasing is ephemeral until you... No, see, I don't have problem with chasing heights in academic, in career. I don't have problem with it. But please, if the reason you want to chase it is because you want to advance the kingdom, it is a wrong, no matter how you paint it. Abraham understood it. You know, many people think that the more money they have, the more power they will have to preach the gospel. Now, that's a mammon spirit. That was the same way the children of Israel was thinking that the reason why God was telling them to do sacrifice was because he needed their horse and he needed their camel. And God told them, he said, see, 1,000 cattle in 1,000 hilltop belongs to me. He said, if I need it, I will not even ask you for it. How will God be asking you for something created? How much did Jesus have? How much? And so you see, when you are talking of Jesus' time and our time is different. While I was praying, the Spirit of God told me to tell you this. Never make that statement. That the day you are reading a story in the Bible, and you assume that it is because that was their time, now is our time. You don't understand that mammon is transgenerational. The same spirit that was in Pharaoh is still the same spirit that is sitting on the next world order to control men and to control their circumstances. To wake up suddenly and look at this house like Ahab did to Naboth because of Jezebel, his wife. This land, I need it. The desire of mammon is that you will let go of all your inherited values just to function in their system. So the Bible says, give us verse 5. Okay, what happened here was that the king formed an alliance. The kings formed alliance. And they defeated this king, Kedorlaomer. So they took the territory of that king. So the king left. 1 year later, he now reassembled. And this time he struck. He struck the king of Sodom, struck all the king. You see it. He came, I'm sure, without them knowing. Because, you know, they don't collect the land now. So let's eat and make merry. So the king struck. Continue. They conquered those cities. Verse 8. Then the rebel kings of Sodom and Gomorrah had more prepared for battle in the valley of the Dead Sea. Are you seeing that? Continue. So as it happened, the valley of the Dead Sea was filled with tar pits. And as the army of the king of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, some fell into the tar pits. They took over the country. Continue. Sodom and the rest. The victorious invaders then plundered Sodom and headed for home, taking with them all the spoils. So those kings that form alliance, that's Kedorlaomer, Loma conquered them. Now give us the next verse, verse 12. So they also captured Lot, Abraham's nephew, who lived in what? Sodom. The war not concerned Abraham, but the one went in Penam, they carry a brother became. Read on. He said, but one of Lot's men escaped and reported everything to Abraham, who was living near the oak grove belonging to Mare, the Amorite. Mare and his relative Eshcol and Anna were Abraham's allies. When Abraham heard that his nephew Lot had been captured, read it, 318 trained men, not just men, no, trained men, who had been born into his household. Then he pursued Kedorlaomer's army until he caught up with them at Dan. Read on. Then he divided his men and attacked during the night. Kedorlaomer's army fled, but Abraham chased them. So Abraham was not a weak man. I'm trying to give you the profile of Abraham. You know, most people think that it's because Abraham was suffering, so when God called him, he hates suffering, now he can follow God. Man was not suffering. I mean, a man that had 318 men, that means he had wisdom. Abraham was not dumb. Read it. Give us verse 16. Abraham recovered all. Everybody say all. All the goods that had been taken, and he brought back his nephew Lot with his possessions and all the women and other captives. Next verse. So after Abraham returned and all his allies, the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley, and Melchizedek, the king of Salem, and a priest. So see, wherever they were raging kings, they were resident priests. The priest had the gift of God in his hands. Now, one of the calling of a priest is to give. I know many of you have been taught that it was Abraham that gave a tenth. But before Abraham gave a tenth, gave him bread. You see, God will never benefit from what you got. He will benefit from what he gave you. Now, let's read on. Melchizedek blessed Abraham with his blessing. Blessed be Abraham by God Most High. And please don't forget that about this time Abraham had already been called. He was called in verse 12. Melchizedek blessed Abraham with his blessing. Blessed be Abraham by God. Now read on verse 20. And blessed be God Most High, who has what? Defeated your enemies. So in the real sense, it was the God factor that brought Abraham the victory. Because how would 318 men defeat Babylon? 318 men. Now you must understand that you don't defeat Babylon by having more houses. I want to say something, and this is where many of us are missing something. You see, many Christians feel that if they have more houses in a street than the other occupants of the street, they will have more power there. No, I've heard people say it, even preachers, that see, the church needs to own land, the church needs to have houses so that the church will have a voice. Well, let me tell you this. Voice in God's kingdom does not come from properties. Voice in God's kingdom comes from the priesthood you represent. The disciples never had anything but a gospel, but a staff of authority. Why do you think many of our men, they can't speak now? There is a level of wealth you can't get in a nation if you don't compromise. So there are a lot of things you and I don't know that they know. So they can't even stand before the government of the day, because the government will tell them where we actually did the compromise. And that's why even where we work, when you show up and say you are a pastor, they laugh you. Do you know why they laugh you? They know what the ones around them are doing. So you must understand that it is godly values, God's ways. That's why you learn it. If you cannot stop stealing meat from your mom when he has slept, you will still steal government money and even use in Jesus' name to cover it. Because I told you that it is what is learned in low places that is displayed in high places. I know how far you will go when I see the values you stand for. I know how far you will go when I see your principles. You'll be amazed to get close to some believers and realize that they speak in tongues, but they speak in lies too. And the way they lie, the lie is not always straight. You know, we have different types of lies. We have white lies. We have gray lies. We have black lies. The black one is the one that is very obvious. The white one is the one that you justify, but all liars. The reason why someone to learn the ways of God is because we think that the only reason we need to learn it is so that we'll be financially prosper. That is the only message I came to change in your mind. That what God needs is your way of life. There are some of us, even where we work, there are positions they have given us we did not lobby, because integrity has a voice. You are the only one that is angry and saying that, is it integrity that we want to shop? I will show you here what Mammon wants to shop. Mammon wants to shop your compromise. Mammon understands that I have the money. Give me your way of life. I will give you the money. Because as far as I can give you the money and take the way of life, the will of God will not be done. The Bible says when he blessed Abraham, give us verse 21, the king of Sodom now came. Now the king of Sodom now said to Abraham, give back my people who were captured, but you keep the goods you have recovered. Now that's where the bargain is happening. When you look at this right now, to you, you're talking about literal goods. But you know what that man is saying? Give me the men, keep the money. Because with the men, I'm going to get more of the money. Give me your time. Work, I'll pay you 200,000. Who is that man that don't want to earn money in 6 digits? But one thing you have not understood is that there is always a high price to pay for every compromise to be submitted. When believers in those days were predominantly farmers, they had more values. But now, nobody wants to do farming. Everybody wants to work in oil company. I don't have problem working in oil company. But you must understand that many of these seats are framed according to the principle of Mammon. There was someone that told me, they said, the way they design the work is that they have a regular salary, but there is an extra allowance for people that will work on Saturday and Sunday. And in one of those cases, the person told me, says, sir, I cherish my Sunday too much. I'm not going to take it. Another one says, sir, I will just take it and do it for like 3 months. When I get the money I want, I will stop. Many people don't know Mammon. Kai, you don't know the spirit of Mammon. No, by the time you've done it, it will just, you want to stop. A voice will tell you that, is that you want to reduce your tithe that you have been paying me? You see, many a times, Mammon is a silent voice in your mind that is using the mindset of the world to be shaping your choices. There is nobody that will say that, you know. But because you are already having a romance with Mammon, Mammon will be giving you up suggestions. So when the king of Sodom sought for the men, he thought the reason why Abraham went after those people was to get the money. That's what kings think. See, that's what your employers think. They think that the reason you want to work is because you need money. And that thing is inserted into them by the spirit of Mammon. And unfortunately, you'll be so amazed today how many so-called church folks fall into that trap. No, please explain it. You explain that you're going to be working, let's say 12 hours in a day. And then the kind of work you do is so strenuous that by the time you return, the only thing you just have to do is to eat and sleep. And you do that Monday to Friday. And then you are a priest. You are a priest. What will happen to your altar? Oh, you think it's just to be shouting as a priest, I'm a priest, I'm a priest. Do we say we are not going to walk? I walk. But you see, I understood this principle many years ago. I don't take a job that takes half time of my week. I'm going to look at the conditions. Everybody say the conditions. I'm a man under assignment. That's why many people think that the only thing God needs is their tithe. So to them, the only bribe they give to God for compromising is that they don't default in their tithe. For some people, it's a bribe. You know, you need the church needs money. Abraham knew there is no money. Everybody said amen. God needs heart. You focus on your job the whole month. Now, your prayer life is down. No, you can't pray. Why do you think many people don't have time to study? There is a system. You can't learn the ways of God outside the altar of God. It is in the altar his ways are taught. So do you have an altar? And one of the things that Mammon wants to do is to alter your dedication to your altar. I know what I'm saying. There are businesses that you will get into before you start rubbing minds with the belly house of this world. You won't even know. It's always very subtle. Just be subtle. They will promise you recognition. They will promise you post. They will promise you a lot of things. And all they are trying to do is to cause you to bow. And in case you don't know, the worst of it is that Mammon has framed his system such that if you don't bow, you can't survive there. As Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel was cast into the den of lions because he didn't bow. Mammon tells you that, see, if you don't have salary, you now have food to eat. Mammon tells you that if you don't have steady income, you will not be able to pay your bill. So some people, they think that it's actually their salary that is paying their bill. But for those that are white, they make the statement that Abraham made. That's what we're going to pray. Abraham replied, I solemnly swear to the Lord God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, verse 23, that I will not take so much as a single thread or sandal, tongue, from what belongs to you. Otherwise, you might say, I am the one made Abraham rich. When the word makes you rich, it is because you bowed. The word, I know what I'm saying. The word will never make you rich without making you compromise. It is you that determine even the extent of your devotion. I have a principle about marriage. I can't get married and my wife will be in Lagos and I will be working in Ofa. It's a curse. It's demonic. It is not good for a man to be alone. Even if they will pay me 2 million, the first condition is I'm go there with my wife. Can't stay out of my wife for more than a week. We are soulmates. We are going anywhere together. But what do you have in some of these cities? And that's where many of the values that we are supposed to transfer to our kids, we are not able to do that. Mammon has brought you over. It takes a father and a mother to train a child. So, but what happens when the father is working in Lagos and the mother is working in Delta State? So they meet once in a month and the kids are taken care of by mates. And check, many of them are even big title payers. We are collecting the money from Mammon, but Mammon is taking over the what? The men. You see our children today, they can't learn God. Go to big cities. Go to big cities. There are men that don't get to see their kids. The only thing they do is to pay bills and pay school fee. Now that's Mammon. Because Mammon tells you, as long as there is so much to spend in the family, the children are safe. When people begin to tell you, say, sir, we have to pay these bills, begin to know that somehow Mammon has invaded them. Because if every decision you make is determined by the quality or quantity of your bills, Mammon has taken over you. Can you be on your feet? Let us pray. Beware of people, or beware of taking a job because of the salary package. Reason why you must learn the way of God is because the way of God is conflicting and opposing to the way of Mammon. Lift up your hands. Thank you, Lord.